Welcome to the Kingdom Builders Podcast. I'm Christine, and I also have my beautiful sister Kim here with me. Say hi.
Hello.
She is a co-host with me for the Kingdom Builders Podcast. We also have two of our Kingdom Builders here, Darlene and Amanda. Say hey.
Hey. Hi, I'm Darlene.
Hi, I'm Amanda.
Awesome. Well, today we are going to be talking about some crazy things in the faith. That's what we do every time.
Every time.
Every single time. It starts out mild and gets crazier as we chat, but we love it. I embrace the fun, hard chat because it just grows us all. And so for our podcast, what our whole point is to help build the kingdom together. And so when we say kingdom builders, we're saying we're building the kingdom of heaven on the earth with the Lord, partnering together arm in arm. So if you want to be a kingdom builder and be a part of the conversation, join us at patreon.com/kingdombuilders and you can hop in the conversation. But today, Darlene has a great question for us. So Darlene, tell us the question and we'll chat about it.
Okay, I wanted to know what your thoughts are on Reiki healing versus laying on of hands, and why do the people who are in Reiki spend so much time on a person rather than immediate healing, or you know how we as believers tend to just lay hands, go to the next person. I mean, that's like, you know, a second or something. I mean, not that it should matter if you can... You know, so I just know what your also, secondly, what your thoughts on going to see a Reiki healer.
Okay. Kim, you want to start out the conversation or do you want me to?
Sure. I don't know that I have really developed thoughts or even knowledge on Reiki healing. I do know that it's all energy based. And I will tell you, I think it's something that as believers, you need to tread lightly with, but I don't think that it's evil. That's what I'll tell you. I think that as with everything you do, even worship, even laying on of hands, even praying, as long as you're doing it with Yeshua and with the Father, then there can be life in it. It's... As far as I know, I mean, I have a lot of friends who do it. And some people who are like, I don't know if you would call teachers or leaders or like they practice Reiki, I suppose. And I don't know. I don't think it's innately bad. I think that it's becoming more and more apparent that we're all made up of energy. And even when we lay hands on, it is an energy thing. There is a transfer of energy. And it is because we're connected with the Father and allow that to flow through us that people receive healing. I also know that there are people who have hands laid on them and they are not immediately healed. There are people who have to be prayed over for years and years and years with hands being laid on, to receive the healing that they need. And I guess I don't know always the longevity of the practice of Reiki or how long it takes, but I think that if we're comparing it to laying on of hands, I think it's a little different methodology, but it's still like focusing on healing energy and getting that transferred into the person who needs to be healed. But I also know that at least some of my friends who have, okay, they've talked this much about it. So I'm really ignorant in this. I'm just putting it out there. A lot of it has to do with them needing to willingly participate as well. But I would argue the same for laying on of hands. You know, like if you're not ready to receive the healing, or to participate in that receiving of it, it's going to make it a whole lot harder to do. I don't know. Chris, what do you think?
I have so many opinions on this. I do. This is okay. So I actually just had someone ask me the same question just a few days ago. And this person asked me because I don't call it Reiki, okay? Because well, here, let me give you my background in Reiki. I have family members who've gotten into Reiki, and so does Kim, but she may not remember or know it.
I do.
Okay. So I've had a couple family members who've been big into Reiki in the past, some still. But they've all done it through traditional Reiki things, which is what you're talking about, which is usually new age kind of stuff, right? So a lot of new age uses Reiki techniques in healing. Now, if anyone knows my opinion on new age stuff, I basically think they have a lot of really solid things that are real, that work, but generally just missing the Yeshua part of it. And so a lot of Christians throw out all of the new age stuff because of not having the Yeshua part, but thinking it's all evil. I don't believe all of it is evil. I think that perhaps you just need to go through the right things. Like Kim was saying, if you go with Yeshua and the Father and they show you what you're supposed to be doing, then how can you go wrong, right? You're going to have life on it. Now, so for me, I kind of stayed away from the Reiki stuff for a long time because of all that, because I had a lot of the same, I'm going to call it churchianity sort of things going on in my life where I rejected anything that wasn't very traditional Christian because I thought it was evil. And so there are a lot of people who have the same idea about Reiki that also think the same thing about crystals, that are like, crystals are evil, don't use crystals. And I'm like, yo, get rid of your cell phones, people. You're using crystals every day. Like, this is, I mean, this, you don't understand what you're doing when you say that. It's a natural element that the Lord created. And all of creation can help us or hinder us if we're doing something, you know, from the Lord or not. So, for instance, you can have too much vitamin B, okay? Most people in our society are lacking vitamin B. Sometimes you need it, sometimes you have too much of it. It doesn't make it evil or good. It's simply something that is life-giving or not, depending on your need, right? Yeah, Darlene pitched in and said our pineal gland has crystals. It's true. The interesting thing is with Reiki is that I told you I was totally against it for a long time. And I have been a person who the Lord has called me a healer. And so I do a whole lot of healing. And one of the things that he showed me is years ago, all I knew was kind of the traditional bring the person before the elders, lay hands on them, anoint them with oil, and they'll be healed. And then the Lord started showing me, because I was very confused about how come sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And then I would blame myself. Maybe I don't have enough faith. Maybe I'm just not believing enough. Or maybe that person's not believing enough. Or I would, you know, have all these things going through my mind about why it's not happening. And when I started engaging in heaven, the Lord started showing me that he needs to lead everything. Like that should have been a duh thing, but he was just showing me everything he has to lead. And then he started showing me all of these different ways in the scriptures where people were healed. And some of them were freaking weird. I mean, there's some that's like, oh, dip your body in the river 7 times. And then another one is, hey, old man, go lay on this little girl so she'll be healed. That's weird. If the Lord said to do that, you'd be like, did I? Really, that's kind of how I would feel. But the Lord started saying he's going to heal differently all the time. There's not a formula. And so I started paying attention. Okay, Lord, this person is hurting. How can I partner with you? And so sometimes he would go, oh, she needs to eat more spinach. And then other times he would go, you need to release shalom over her. And then another time he would say, go get that essential oil out right there. And then another time he would say, oh, put your mouth over their mouth and breathe. And it would be so weird, all these different things. And there came a time when one day I was spending time praying over this person. Actually, he used to be a kingdom builder. He might still be, I'm not sure. So I'll mention him because he would be happy that I said this. Wayne, he had lung cancer. And so I was praying over him one day. And the Father said, I want you to put your hand like right over his skin, but not touch him. And all of a sudden I could feel the heat and the energy start to like get really intense. And I was like, what's happening? And then he said, okay, move it over here. And then I'd move it over here and do the same thing. And it was so wild. He felt it. And he was getting like super strong healing when this was happening. And I, after this experience with him, I was like, Lord, what the heck? And he said, this is what people do in Reiki. And I was like, what? And then he said, they're just using other spirits as well, but they're just doing energy healing like this. And I was like, wow, that I feel it. Like you can physically feel the energy, you know? And it was wild for me. And then he started doing this way more often with me, where I'd be praying over somebody. What am I supposed to do? And then he'd go touch them right here, put their hand right over their skin, but not on their skin. And he would have me do this in different ways. And it is crazy what has happened. People's backs have been healed. People's necks have been healed. Cancer has been healed, all sorts of things. And I've never done a traditional Reiki thing. Okay. So I've never gone to a class. I wouldn't say a practice Reiki or anything like that. I've never even had anyone do it to me. So I am no expert in Reiki, but I do know the basic principle of the energy healing can legit be from the Lord. Mm-hmm. But whatever we do, I feel like we have to do it as he leads. So for me, I'm not learning the techniques because he's the one leading me in what I'm supposed to do. So I don't know, oh, start here, do this, invoke this spirit, whatever. I don't do any of that. But I know that he uses energy healing in lots of ways. And like Kim said, you know, sometimes people get healed immediately. Sometimes people get healed over years. This is something that the Lord knows. He knows exactly what they need, when they need it. Sometimes the Lord says, don't even touch them. Just go to the courts of heaven or whatever. It's always something totally different. And we have to be open to realizing that sometimes we have spiritual roots. Sometimes it's an energy thing. Sometimes it's soul trauma. You know, it's so different in everything that we do as healers that we just have to be open to the Lord. That's my personal opinion. That's why I said I have a lot of opinions. I'm sorry I talk so long, but that's how I feel about it and how the Lord has used me in, I don't know if I call it Reiki, but kind of like Reiki anyway.
I have a question for you. So do you think, and I'm challenging my own thinking in this too, do you think there are times when the Lord, as in like the Father or Yeshua or Holy Spirit, will assign to you an angel or a being who is to help you in healing and help lead you in some of the healing? And if so, then are they not also just other spirits that are helping or you're seeking to help with some of these things?
Absolutely. I think that is when, I mean, I don't even think you need to challenge yourself because you know of Jophiel, who helps with healing a lot. He helps through energy healing, mm-hmm. Literally, light, kind of this electricity sort of stuff. Sure. For me, I have four angels. Jophiel's one of them. He helps with this. But there are four angels that help me in healing. They do help me in healing personally, but generally it's for healing other people. Mm-hmm. And I do think that it's the same sort of thing as what Reiki practitioners do. I don't know that everyone is going through Yeshua. And for me, that's kind of a must have. That's for me personally. I have to know that I'm one with him and I'm doing it with him. And it's not something that I do outside of him. So when I try to function in the spirit outside of Yeshua, I believe that's witchcraft. And so I don't do that at all. But the Lord has made it so clear that we are one, that it's not even, it doesn't have to be in the name of Jesus, be healed. You know, that's not how I function whatsoever. So a lot of people will be, okay, by his blood, you're healed. That's fine if you're being led to do that. But to just invoke the name of Jesus or do something like that is not, it's still not seeking the Lord's will. His kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Are you seeking his will in heaven to have it be released into the earth? That's, I guess, the most important thing. And having the spirits helping you, if you're having angels who are assigned to help you, then that's great. It's the same. And I do believe that there are angels who even help people who aren't believers. So it's not that I think that all of that is necessarily bad if the Lord is behind it. I don't know. I guess I trust myself more than a lot of people. And I have certain healer friends that I trust. And I, even if I get sick or something, I make sure and ask, who am I supposed to go to for help? And I don't just run to this doctor or run to this person, because it's the same. I still want to do it with Yeshua and what his will is. And so, like, I have a really awesome doctor friend who is a strong believer, and she is so good at what she does with energy healing. But there are also times when she's in her head all the time, you know, like she is functioning from the knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Like, this is good for you, this is bad for you, you know, because she's super smart. She's like greatly intelligent. But I know that that's not always how the Lord wants me to function. Is with, hey, I think this is what you should do. But I want the one who is going to help me in that moment to get the healing from the Lord that is specifically for me. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's good. Okay. So then the last part of Darlene's question, what are your thoughts on going to a Reiki healer?
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
So for me, I mean, I feel like I kind of just answered that in my last response about going to these specific doctors or healers. Go as you're led. Like, don't do what he's not leading you to do, and don't do anything just because you think it's a good idea.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like that's general wisdom of life. Like, are you being led into it, or is it something you just think is smart? Because you might get yourself into a heap of trouble. And I'm like that even with really strong believers. You know, say, okay, Kim, I don't think you generally lay hands on me to heal me, but let's pretend like you do. Okay. sometimes, probably, I just don't really remember. But if that's something you do, it's great. But say you're going through something really crazy right now, and you have some demonic influence that you're just unaware of, or maybe you are aware of it, I don't know, but it's happening over your life because you're in a hard place. And I come to you to lay hands on me because I think it's a smart idea. And the Bible says that I need to come and, okay, right? So I go and do that with Kim. She lays hands on me. Her lovely junk hops right onto me, and it hurts me instead of helps me. And so, even though she's someone the day before might have been the perfect person to lay hands on me, today is not the perfect person to lay hands on me. And so I try to be really discerning about even who I let touch me because of those sort of things. And so if someone is in my energy, like, I'm a little different than most people. Most people have an energy field that's about that big. I have a 3-foot energy field. And so for me, it's bigger than most people. So I have to pay attention who's in my energy field when I'm needing help. Because when I'm needing help, if the wrong people are in my energy field, it just is horrible. I pick up all of the stuff that they have. It's not good for me. Not everyone's as sensitive as I am in that way, but I'm very sensitive to that. Energy is something that really affects my body. And so for me, I have to go, I have literally said to a doctor of mine who had other doctors in the room, like doing stuff and observing, I said, you need to get me out of here because I'm picking up all their stuff. So I've had to say that just so I don't get everybody else's junk, even if they're great people. So I guess that was a long way of saying thoughts on going to one, be led. Right?
I think it's really good. I'd love to shift a little bit, but stay on kind of something you were saying, if that's okay. Are we okay to shift a little bit? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about being led. Dive a little bit more into that as opposed to doing what has been prescribed by others, by accepted practices, by even by scripture. Because I think there are things that happen sometimes where when we don't align ourselves with the will of God, and we don't enter into that oneness you were talking about with Yeshua and with the Father, that we start using the practices that we know, using the ways that have been displayed in scripture to have our own will come to pass. And we say it in the name of Jesus as though that makes it his will. And I kind of want to talk a little bit about that because I think it's a dangerous line to be walking. And I know that most of the time it tends to happen with good intentions. Like we've heard about like Christian witchcraft, and I guess this is kind of what that is. And I don't know that the intent is always to be a detriment. It is because you want what's best for someone else. It is, you think that this is best, but you kind of bypass the
relationship part of it.
The relationship part. And you bypass the your will be done part. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Chris, you want to talk about this a little bit?
Yeah. I mean, I could be very vulnerable on this part.
Okay.
So you guys here probably know that I very recently have been divorced. So I've been apart from my husband for 2 years now. And it was one of the hardest things for me to go through, literally theologically. I know that sounds strange, but I had very traditional Christian biblical ideas about marriage. And I mean, I didn't even realize how religious I was about it until the Lord slapped me out of the religion. but I did things in my marriage to be a good wife, to be a good submissive wife, all sorts of things that I had in my mind that I should do to be good enough. Okay. And I didn't think of it at that point, like, hey, I need to be good enough, but it really was that. That's what I was doing a lot of. And I was really struggling with healing in my body with some things concerning my marriage. And I felt like this is the worst problem. It's all me. Why am I like this? So I sought healing and healing and healing and healing for this and trying to get to a deeper amount of healing so it could be better. And One day I was sharing, because the Lord told me, I was seeking, who can I go to about this that I won't like make my husband look bad? Okay. Cause I have a problem with, you know, like for instance, I wasn't telling Kim a lot of stuff because she's my family and I didn't want her to be against my husband. Okay. And so my family will always jump to my defense. Right. And so I didn't share everything with her cause I didn't want to do that. But she's like one of the only people I really trust who engage over me like that. And so I was really keeping to myself, not knowing what to do. And then one day the Lord told me to talk to this other person who's totally outside of my situation. And I did. And when I talked to her, she said, have you asked the Lord if you're still supposed to be with your husband? And I was like, no. And I was like, of course not. Like, we said, till death do us part. The Lord hates divorce. I had all these things, you know. And she said, well, what's it going to hurt to just ask? And I was like, all of a sudden I got fear. Like, oh crap. What if he says something different than I think? And then I'm like, why am I scared of the Lord? What's happening in me? And I just kind of had this whole thing happen. And when I went to the Lord and I asked him, and I really expected for him to be like, of course you're supposed to stay married. He started laughing at me and I'm like thinking, what the heck, God, you know, what are you doing? And then he said, you're finally asking the right question. And I was like in shock. I mean, I was just in shock. And he showed me that we were supposed to be on separate paths. And I started literally asking God about theology, which is hilarious. But I'm like, I thought you hated divorce. And I went into all the stuff with the Lord. And I thought you hated divorce. And so we talked about this. And I was like, did I get it wrong? Was I not supposed to marry him? I thought you told me to do that. And he's like, no, I told you to do that. And now I'm telling you to be apart. And I was like, this is blowing my mind. I had all of these prescribed things from the church and the Bible that I just made into the way it must be for everyone. And instead of doing it through relationship, like you were saying, I had a strong relationship with the Lord, but there were these different parts in my life that I compartmentalized by accident, saying, this is what I believe should be because this is what I've always been taught. And instead of asking, what is it for me? And so the whole time my body wasn't coming into healing is because my body knew. And my body was trying to get me into my right path. And I kept going, shut up, body, get in line, you know? And so for me, I've had to really lay all of this stuff down. And I feel like it's almost a constant work in me. Just as soon as I think I have no more religion, then the Lord shows me something I'm religious about. Mm-hmm. And it's like constantly going and reworking and saying, you have to come through me for relationship. Everything has to come through relationship. And so even when you think you know how it must be, because even after this, I would say to somebody, hey, I know this is really crazy, but this is what the Lord is calling me to do, is to get divorced. That is the hardest thing to say to people, I'm just telling you. Almost every time people would say, the Lord hates divorce. You're not supposed to do that. And I would every time say, just seek him about it and see what he says to you about my situation. And every single time they came back with, you're right, the Lord was saying that's what you're supposed to do. And it's like, when you have this idea that everyone has to be exactly the same in everything, you're getting it off, then you're leaving out the relationship part. And this whole thing that you're talking about is so important because we do it in so many ways, so many areas, the healing, the divorce, whatever it is, you know, and I'm not proud of divorce. It's nothing I think, oh yes, but at the same time, if it's the Lord's will, I'm going for it, no matter if it's hard, no matter if it seems like it'll be terrible. You know, so much life-giving stuff has come out of it already, and it's been crazy. I didn't even notice how bad it was until I was out of it.
Yeah.
You know,
I think this is one of the biggest lessons that I've learned in, I don't know, probably the last year and a half or so, is just what you were talking about, is that there are times when the Lord will tell you to do something because it is his will, but that doesn't mean it will be his will forever. And unless you continually are checking back with him, not like, okay, God, am I still doing this? But like allowing that relationship to flow through all of the parts of you, even the parts that he's already said, this is what you do, then you may get way off because things have shifted. Because this may have been for this time, or maybe it was supposed to be for the whole life, but different decisions were made and there were other circumstances that came in to set it on a different path, which makes it no longer ideal.
Right.
You know, and it is one of those things that if you don't ever check back, if you don't ever ask, then you may get way down like a different path. And then wind up having to do a lot of backtracking and then blazing the trail that you should have already been on. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. I think that is such a good example of that, Christine, and what you're talking about. I have an example of just even how I eat. And I've had issues with autoimmune stuff. You know, I think it was 5 years ago, I got a very clear and direct word from the Lord on what to do to heal that. And then all of a sudden in the last year, I've found that that same thing, that prescription he gave me, is no longer working. And I spent a long time going, well, this is what he told me to do, so this is what I'm doing. As opposed to going back and going, okay, Lord, what has changed? Is there something else? Is this no longer serving me? Is this no longer bringing life? You know? And I think those conversations, as simple as it seems to have or to say to have these, they're not always the easiest thing to even think about doing. Mm-hmm. But I think sometimes it's that it does have to be that relationship. It has to be that constant. I'm one with you. You're one with me. I want to do your will. We are one. Kind of thing. And if we need to shift, we shift.
Yeah.
Right. And if it doesn't seem like what we would have chosen, that's okay too. Right.
No, that's so good. Okay. We could talk forever on this. I really feel like it, but with like the food, this is one reason, you know, our friend Harmony, she has this Harmony Healing Ministry, and it's all about that. It's about generally food, but some other things in life too. But what is the Lord saying you need now? And then check back with her, because then the next time you engage together about it, it might be totally different. And the interesting thing is, even for her, okay, so she has been vegan for years, and it has been a belief system thing for her. So not really just because it's better for my body, but because she doesn't like the cruelty of animals and some of the systems we do. Okay. Like the dairy industry and stuff. And so anyway, then one day the Lord said, you need to start eating meat. And she was just like, wait, what? But she was obedient. And all of a sudden she started to feel better. And then, I mean, the Lord said, okay, you need to start taking colostrum. Colostrum from cows. This is like the epitome of what she hates about the industry. And the Lord said, this is what you need for your body. And so she started doing it, has had great healing. And it's so interesting how if we can take our opinions about everything. It could, like, that wasn't even a religious thing necessarily, but kind of about creation. Mm-hmm. But if we will just get all that aside to check in with the Lord and just keep checking in. Even me, okay, so I've been dealing with a respiratory sort of thing this week, Darlene, probably not as bad as yours, but I have been dealing with that. And there's this one remedy that I have been using that's been really good for me, and my body's been like, you need this. Well, I check in even throughout the day. Like in the morning, I'll check, do I need this? How much do I need, Lord? 3 droppers. You know, the bottle says 5 droppers at night. Well, I check in anyway, because I know that that's not necessarily what my body needs. So I then check in around lunch. Do I need any? No. Okay. Then I check in at night. Yes, you need 1 dropper or whatever. And this is something that I try to do to take care of my body, to listen more often. And I feel like we should do this. If Yeshua said, I only do what I see the Father doing, then we need to actually see what the Father's doing, you know, pay attention. What is he up to? What does he say we need to partner with him in? You know, we have these certain beliefs. Is this something I still need to believe? You know, I remember when I was leading everybody in the courts of heaven, right? I don't remember the last time I went to the courts of heaven with the Lord for my own self. And I thought that would never end. I really thought that would never end. It felt like I was going 20 times a day. And then now it's like, where'd that go, Lord? And sometimes he'll lead me to go back to the courts with somebody else, but he never leads me to go back with him anymore. And so I have to go, that's cool. Whatever you want, Lord, whatever you want. I want to go where you want me to go. I want to do what you want me to do. Anyway, yeah, that's a big deal, I think.
Yeah, really good. Amanda, Darlene, do you have anything you want to add?
No, I don't.
No, I was just thinking about you girls are so much younger and so wise, you know? And I was just thinking, how can they be so wise? They're still so young, you know, because you think wisdom comes with age. Not necessarily, I'm finding as I get to know people, you know, some people will never, never, ever pursue wisdom. Some people will never, ever pursue healing if they need it, specifically, especially with my people, because there's been so much trauma, right? That I work with elders at the university, and there's a few of them that carry wisdom, but I found that 3 out of the 5 that come are, I find, are wise in the way they think, in the way they deal with life and how they're approaching the students there, because the students come and sit with them, you know, if they just need someone to talk to. So, yeah. Anyway, you wise young ladies.
Thanks, Darlene.
Thank you. You know what? Here's what I really believe. I think a couple things. You know, iron sharpens iron. And so I feel like Kim and I are around a lot of people. Maybe we've even created the people. I don't know. We didn't create them ourselves, but you know what I mean? Created the culture of the people. Mm-hmm. But we have people who we love to get into deep things. And that's like the fun stuff. You know, is having these sort of conversations. That's what brings me life. I really think that's a big deal. And even like just being around, this is kind of part of the whole Kingdom Builders thing. And, you know, the Lord may not have us do Kingdom Builders for the rest of our lives. Pretty sure he won't. But I do know that it is something that it really helps when you partner together and you start having that be a part of your culture. And honestly, I feel like the more you know, the more you understand you don't know. And that's so I know how much I don't know, which is why I lean so much on the Lord. And I think when the Lord first told me, that my purpose in life was to bring people into the heavenly realms, I had no earthly idea of how to even do it with myself, let alone how to lead other people. And that was my strength. I had no idea. So I let Yeshua lead it all. And I just yielded and I was brave enough to take one step. And that's it. And I just said, okay, I don't know what I'm doing. You got to do something, Lord. And that's how I believe that's why I grew so much. And that's why I'm good at it, is because I'm actually not. I'm really not. I only rely on him for everything. I couldn't make stuff up. I mean, the things that he does is so amazing and miraculous and personal. And yeah, it's just awesome. So thank you for the compliment, but I feel like I can't take any credit. It's really the Lord just doing it. He's doing it all. Yeah. Well, thank you guys for being on today. And Darlene, you always bring the best questions. Thank you. Appreciate you. Amanda, we love you. I would love to hear more from you sometime. She has a lot of wisdom too.
I'm mainly a listener.
No, you're not. Okay, you do a lot of listening. That's true.
I do.
But
I do.
You also are full of wisdom.
I form my, what I'm going to say here. I just listen to whatever the Lord is leading me to say.
See, that's the best. All right. Well, love you guys. Have an awesome weekend. We will see you on the podcast again in a month.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Bye. Thank you. Love you guys.